بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening in form of the receiver, inshallah we will discuss a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated by Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala an, in which he mentions three beautiful advices, simple advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are extremely important for us to bring in our life. Inshallah, if we inculcate these beautiful advices, it will be great benefit for us. Hazrat Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala an, his real name was Jundub bin Junada. Jundub bin Junada radiyallahu ta'ala. He came from the Ghifar tribe. There's a lengthy incident regarding his bringing Islam, how he came into Islam, his brother, then his mother. But he was amongst the forerunners of Islam. Min as-sabiqeen al-awwaleen, those who entered Islam in the early period. So he was either the fourth, around the third, fourth, fifth person to accept Islam. So this is a very great accolade for Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, and those who embraced Islam early. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. This is mentioned in the Quran. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, when he embraced Islam, when he recited the kalima, then he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's going to go now and openly declare his Islam in the Haram Sharif. Rasulullah sallam cautioned him that I fear that people might attack you, but he was determined to do this, and he goes and he announces his Islam in front of the mushrikeen, the leaders who were there, and immediately they attack him. And as they begin to beat him up, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala intervenes. He realizes this is Abu Dharr from the Ghifar tribe, and immediately he tells the people there that, listen, if you're going to hit him, it's going to be very difficult for us to go and on our trade journeys, and the Ghifar tribe were known for their warfare, they're going to attack us, maybe we'll have problems. So they leave him, and he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, I told you that I fear that he will attack you. Nonetheless, then he goes and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends him off to give da'wah to his people, to his tribe, and when he goes, he gives the da'wah of Islam to his brother, and his brother embraces Islam, then his mother also embraces Islam, then they see khalqun kathirun, a large number of his tribe, they embrace Islam. And when he brought them to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they entered into the fold of Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, ghifarun ghafarallahu laha, the ghifar tribe, may Allah forgive this tribe. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, he was known for his zuhud, his asceticism. He completely renounced the dunya. He had no love for dunya whatsoever. In fact, he could not see any person keeping any extra money by him, any possession. He would want him to spend it or give it out in the path of Allah, but he could not stand any person keeping any savings. To such an extent, it became difficult upon Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And in the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, then very politely Uthman radiallahu ta'ala then sent him off to a nearby town called Ar-Rabadah. And this is where Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala alone with his wife, and then he lived the remaining part of his life there, and he passed on. Until Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu happened to come at that very time, and he then performed his janazah, so to his burial, etc. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala was also known for his sidq, his honesty, his truthfulness, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complimented him, praised him. He said, ma aqallatil ghabra wa ma adallatil khadra min rajulin asdaqa min Abi Dharr radiyallahu ta'ala min Abi Dharr, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that the land, the earth has not carried any person nor has the sky covered any person more honest and trustworthy in his speech than Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. There is a narration which Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions. He says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam when Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala happens to go past. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam immediately tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Hadha Abu Dharr." That's Abu Dharr. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is much surprised that, you know Abu Dharr? How do you know him so well? He says, he's more famous in the sky than is in the world. The angels know him better. And then he explained on account of two things. Because of his humility, his tawadu, humbleness. There was no pride in him. There was no arrogance in him. And also, reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas in abundance. قُلُ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ. He would recite the surah in abundance. There's so many more things and advices of Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, but coming to the hadith and the topic of discussion, he says, I heard Rasulullah s.a.w. saying, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Narrated by Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, and it is recorded by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. Three advices. The first one, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah wherever you are. Wherever a person is, he's at home, he must fear Allah. He's at work, fear Allah. The masjid, fear Allah. In the shopping mall, fear Allah. Going out with your friends, fear Allah. You're traveling overseas, you fear Allah. In private, in privacy, you fear Allah. In public, you fear Allah. Night, you fear Allah. Day, you have taqwa. So all the time, wherever you are, you know the common stories, all the stories, the incidents that we have heard from childhood days, when that ustad asked his pupils to take this fowl, each one had a hen, and each one had to slaughter it in such a place that nobody could see. Somebody went behind the shed, somebody in some dark room, somebody in some cellar, somebody behind a tree, each one came back, he said one pupil, he brought the hen back. And the ustad said, you couldn't find any place where nobody was watching, seeing you. He says, wherever I went, ustad ji, I realized Allah was watching. So he passed the test. Simple incident. But this is for you and I to ponder and reflect. Sometimes the temptation is so strong and we feel, let me indulge in this evil habit or deed or practice. Nobody is around. The fear of Allah then comes out of his heart. He's got no khushu, he's got no khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he does the action. But if he has taqwa in him, he reflects, ponders, he says, I cannot displease my Allah. Allah has made this haram upon me. How could I do this? Allah is watching me. And he builds within himself the consciousness that Allah is watching me. This is the state of muraqabah. Then immediately he will refrain. He will not be brazen and commit that sin. And this is the taqwa we have to build up before the month of Ramadan, especially from now till the month of Ramadan, the entire month of Ramadan, the focus is on taqwa, 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 not only for these months, but throughout the life of a believer. But these are the training ground. This is the practice. This is where we will now make a concerted effort to gain this taqwa so that we may become amongst the muttaqeen in every day and night of our life. A person is in love with a woman, and then he takes her into a house, and he tells her that now go and close, or they are together. And she tells him, in fact, she tells him, she was infatuated with him. He tells him, go and close all the doors, so nobody comes in. And he goes and closes every door. And she says, you close all the doors? He says, yes, I've closed all the doors but one door. She says, which door is that? You close the front door, the back door, the side doors, which one is left? He says, the door of Allah subhanahu. That door I cannot close. Allah is watching us. Immediately, she refrained from zina. He refrained from zina. So whatever the condition is, the temptation is so strong. The person is ready to commit zina. He's alone in some flat or some apartment, some hotel, wherever he is, wherever she is. And now they are about to commit zina. Think, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. fear Allah wherever you are. And the moment you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strongly, then inshallah you will refrain from committing that sin. The person is ready to pop that drug into his mouth. There's nobody around him. He just wants to just get into a state of ecstasy. Again, ittaqillah haythuma. As far as the virtues of taqwa and blessings and benefits are concerned, we have heard many times that a person who has taqwa in his life, yukaffir anhu siyyati, Allah will forgive him all his sins. وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا, Allah will give him great reward. His reward will be multiplied. Allah will give him Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an opening for him from all difficulties. And Allah will provide for him from unseen sources, rozi, rizq, sustenance. Allah will give him the criteria, the ability to discern right from wrong. There are a number of blessings and benefits of taqwa. When a person has this taqwa, then he will refrain from sins. The temptation is there to do a haram deal. I'll just make some more money. But again, ittaqillah haythuma kunta. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi's grandparents' story we have heard. We have heard the story that it was the Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was going patrolling the streets of Medina with his slave, and then this relaxed outside a person's house, and he's got his back against the wall when he overhears the conversation between mother and daughter, and the mother is telling the daughter, and they were filling bottles of milk. She says, add some more water. The milk content will become more. We'll sell more milk, we'll get more money. She says, haven't you heard Amir al-Mu'minin's orders? He has prohibited such a thing. It is haram. We are deceiving the people. She says, where's Amir al-Mu'minin now? He's not here. So the daughter says, Amir al-Mu'minin is not here. But is not the ilah, the Allah of Amir al-Mu'minin here? Is Allah not watching? Umar radiallahu ta'ala became so delighted with his reply that the next day he sent a proposal for his son. And then, when after inquiring who are these people, it was just a mother and daughter, they had no menfolk there. And then, yes, this daughter is wedded off to the son of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And then from that progeny was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi, who was such a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ittaqillah haythuma kunta. The second advice, وَأَتْبِعِ الْحَسَنَةَ السَّيِّئَةَ. When a person does any evil, then immediately follow that evil with a good deed. The good deed tamhuha, the good deed will wipe out the سَيِّئَات. The moment you do some wrong, immediately do some good deed, whether it's making wudu and reading two rakat salat, or making the dhikr of Allah, making tawbah istighfar, some tasbihat, tilawat of Quran, some sadaqah, immediately carry out a good deed. There was a person in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, he went to purchase some dates from a woman who was selling some dates. And as he was busy doing this deal with her, suddenly, he became overwhelmed by his nafs, and he just kissed that woman. And he realized his mistake, what he did. She was a stranger. He runs for his life. Knows that he has done wrong. He feels that haya in him, that shame. And he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. Give me my punishment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited. Wahi came down. Aqimi salata. طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Then establish salat in the two sides of the day, the two ends of the day, and some salat at night. Ulama explain mufassirin that all five salat is included in this verse. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ, here in this case salat, or any good deeds, يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. It will wash away, wipe out, it will efface, obliterate the evil deed. In other words, he tells the Sahabi, go read some namaz. And your salah that you will read now will wipe out that bad deed that you have done. The Sahabi asks, Ali hada ya Rasulullah? Is this only for me? Nabi said, no, it's for my entire ummah. Bi jami'i ummati. In other words, any one of us does any wrong, any bad deed, any sayyi'ah, immediately carry out a good deed. The good deed will come and knock the bad deed off. It will wipe it off. It will obliterate it. It will efface it. Ulama and mashayikh have mentioned, you committed a guna, any person commits a guna in a certain place, if it is possible, it's not difficult, then go back to the same place and make sincere tawbah and istighfar on that spot, so that on the day of Qiyamah, that spot, that piece of ground, that piece of earth, does not bear testimony and witness against you. يَوْمَ إِذِن تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. In the tafsir of this verse, ulama have mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, the piece of ground and earth upon which a person did some wrong, it will bear testimony and witness against the person. Ya Allah, this person did this on and that upon me on that particular day. But when he makes tawbah, Allah even makes the people who saw that sin being committed, make them forget, and even the piece of land and earth is unable on the day of Qiyamah to relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything that transpired upon it when the person made sincere tawbah. As though the earth is made to forget also. However, ulama say that if by you going back to the place, you're going to be tempted again to make that sin, then don't go back there. Wherever you are, make sincere tawbah. And of course, do some good deed. The good deed will wipe out the bad deed. Important is the important thing in this hadith, that do a good deed. Follow, when a person does a bad deed, follow it with a good deed. And the third one, and this is very, very important for all of us. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And deal with people, engage with people with a good character. And this is such an area that many of us, we score very, very low marks. We find this very challenging. Whereas, it is most important that all of us should inculcate within us good akhlaq. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, recorded by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, ma min shay'in athqalu fi mizan al-mu'min yawm al-qiyamah min khuluqin hasan, aw kama qala alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is nothing more weightier and more heavy on the scales of a believer on the day of Qiyamah than good akhlaq, good character. The weightiest thing on the day of Qiyamah, from all the good deeds that is placed on the scale of a believer, the weightiest thing will be good akhlaq. Good akhlaq will make the person gain salvation in the hereafter, because it will make his good deeds heavy. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. To understand how important good akhlaq is, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dispatching Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, and this incident we mentioned 100 times, he says, حِنَ وَضَعْتُ رِجْلِي فِي الْغَرْزِ, when I place my feet in the stirrup of the saddle of my horse, when Rasulullah was dispatching me and he was advising me, he said, Ya Mu'az, O Mu'az, be good to the people, have good akhlaq with the people. وَأَحْسِنْ خُلُقَكَ لِلنَّاسِ, and meet the people with good character. Deal with the people with good akhlaq. When a person looks at himself in a mirror, مَسْنُونَ دُوَى اللَّهُمَّ تَحَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي, Allah, you have beautified me, you have given me a nice face, you have given me ears, you have given me nose and eyes. So my outward, you have given me a beautiful appearance. فَحَسِّنْ خُلُقِي, oh Allah, beautify my inside, my batin, my akhlaq. Make me have a polished character. Rasulullah is praised by Allah in the Quran, in the 29 juz, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are verily on a very exalted character, very high standard of character. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, what is good character? He says, طَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ, smiling at people. Something all of us have to practice upon. Smile with your Muslim brother, not your Muslim sister. The Muslim sister will smile at her Muslim sister. Muslim brother must smile at his Muslim brother. But even a smile is part of good akhlaq. وَتَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ لَكَ صَدَقَةً. In fact, you get a reward of giving sadaqah. If the person who you are meeting, he is all in a forlorn state, he's very sad, depressed, and you're smiling at him, you liven his spirits. Speak to him with kind words. People are suffering depression today. People have got different problems. And we just talk to them in a kind manner, in a nice way. A good word, a kind word, kalima, tayyiba, a kind word is also sadaqah. In hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person may say one good word to his Muslim brother. Sometimes not even intentionally. By the way, he was talking and he said one good word. Through that one good word, he can reach the highest stages in paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I stand guarantee. I am the guarantor for that person. Man taraka al-mira'a, who leaves out arguing and fighting and quarreling with people, even though he may be on the right. But he says, for Allah's sake, I'm not going to quarrel. I'm not going to argue. Rasulullah says, I guarantee him a home, a place, an abode in Jannah, a palace in Jannah, on the outskirts of Jannah. And that person who leaves out, abandons lying, kizb, he does not speak lies. Even whilst joking and jesting, he does not speak lies. Rasulullah says, I guarantee him a home in the middle of Jannah. And then Rasulullah says, that person who has good akhlaq, I guarantee him a home, a palace, a house, an abode in the ala of Jannah, the highest part of Jannah. Through good character, يُدْرِكُ الْمُؤْمِنْ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ دَرَجَةَ الْقَائِمِ بِالْلَّيْلِ وَصَائِمِ بِالنَّهَارِ. Your good character will give you the level and daraja of that person, that sawab, that blessings and that rewards of that person who is standing the entire night in tahajjud and the entire day he's fasting. Just on accord of your good character. So Abdullah bin Mubarak Ramu says, طَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ, smiling at the person. وَبَذْلُ الْمَعْرُوفِ, and doing good deeds. Speaking nicely to people. How often we become so cruel, evil, harsh, hard-hearted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the most highest of character. In one verse Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَرِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were harsh and hard-hearted, then the Sahaba would disperse from you. They will not sit with you. But Allah gave Rasulullah a very soft heart. He was rafiq, raqiqul qalb. In Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the quality of rifq, which means politeness, softness. And Allah subhanahu loves softness and politeness, gentleness in every person. Whenever gentleness, softness is found, it will beautify them. Mullah Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi says, he says, hear with the ears of tolerance. Listen very carefully to this. Hear with the ears of tolerance. See with the eyes of compassion. And speak with the language of love. Put ourselves in our own homes, with our wives, with our partners, with our spouses, or in the business place, you are the boss, you've got workers. Or you're a principal of an institution or organization, or you're a teacher, whatever it is. You're a father. Listen with the ears of tolerance. We hardly even heard the entire sentence and you want to bash that child immediately. We hardly even heard and listened to the problem at home and we're lashing out at our wives. Look with the eyes of compassion and speak the language of love. This will engender in us good akhlaq. Those people who are hayyin layyin, comes in the hadith, soft-hearted. And for them is paradise. But those who are harsh and cruel, لا يدخل الجنة الجواف ولا الجعذري. That person who is very hard-hearted, very harsh, cruel, arrogant, full of pride, and he is kanjus, al-jamu' al-manu', he just amasses wealth, and he's a bakhil, he's a miser, he never spends on people. لا يدخل الجنة يولى الجنة. So, بذل المعروف and كف الأذى, removing any difficulty or any problem or any harm from the path or from harming any person. Don't harm any person. Refraining from harming any person, be he a believer or a disbeliever. This was so prevalent in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in and the Salafi Salihin. They never went and harmed any person. They were always considerate of the people around them, the rights of others. A person would forego his rights just to make sure his neighbor is okay. And this we found in the life of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and most of you know many incidents in his life, that how soft-natured he was, and he never used to harm any person in any way. These are things that we talk about our pious predecessors, for us to bring into our lives. May Allah grant me first, and all of you, these beautiful advices of Rasulullah SAW. We need to bring modesty in our life, haya in our life. We need to be good people, kind people, loving people, people who will assist mankind, humanity. Akhlaq is a very lengthy subject. Inshallah, we will discuss other aspects. But for tonight, three things. Ittaqillah haythu ma kunta. Let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever we are. Jo karta hai tu chup ki ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. What you're doing, concealing, hiding yourself in dunya, doing some wrong, and thinking nobody is watching you. Somebody in the sky is watching you. There's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And follow a bad deed with a good deed. The good deed will wipe out the bad deed. And lastly, let us get and have good akhlaq. Good morals, good character. Allah ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sayyidul Sharif. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nuhu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين. يا الله ہماری گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما. يا الله forgive us my Allah. يا الله make us have good اخلاق my Allah. Forgive us my Allah. Grant us تقوى my Allah. يا الله تقوى والی زندگی نصیب فرما. يا الله make us have تقوى every day of our life my Allah. In public, in privacy my Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, whenever we commit any sins, Ya Allah, Allah help us not to commit any sins, my Allah. But if we do commit sins, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of making tawbah. Give us the tawfiq of doing a good deed that will wipe out the bad deed, my Allah. Ey Maliki Kareem, Ya Allah, grant all of us afiyat, my Allah. Afiyat fi dareen, afiyat in dunya, afiyat in akhirat, afiyat in our deen, my Allah, afiyat in our lives. Allah, in the lives of our family and children, my Allah. Eh, Maliki Kareem, ya Allah, grant all of us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb. Ya Allah, protect us from all evil, my Allah. Protect us from the shar of the shirin, from the fitna of the fitteen, hasad of the hasidin, from the zulam of the zalimeen. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq of doing good amal, amal saliha. Increase our iman, make us live with iman. Make us die with iman. Raise us on the day of qiyamah with iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us halal in tayyib rozi, my Allah. Give us plentiful, my Allah. Don't make us become muhtaj in any of your makhluk, my Allah. Give us halal in tayyib rozi. Make us use it correctly, my Allah. Protect us from israf, my Allah, and extravagance and wasting, my Allah. Eh, Maliki Kareem, ya Allah. So many people are not well, my Allah. Young and old. Some in hospital, some at home, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant each person shifai kamil, ajil, mustaqir, da'in. All the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus, my Allah. Ya Allah, Muslim brothers and sisters, my Allah, masum children in Gaza, my Allah. Ya Allah, these ceasefire, as we have heard, my Allah. Ya Allah, but only you know what is best, my Allah. Grant them, ya Allah, afiyat in their lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, the enemy, ya Allah, we can never trust them, my Allah. But my Allah, you made them zaleel, my Allah. You have made them zaleel already, my Allah. You have humiliated the enemy already, my Allah. Allah, now grant an opening and ya Allah and victory for Muslim brothers and sisters, ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant them afiyat, happiness in their life, my Allah. Give them barakat, my Allah. Give them aman and aman, my Allah. Eh, Maliki Kareem, ya Allah, jahan bhi musalman pareshan hal karo, ya Allah. Unki pareshani dur farma, ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us mawtud iman, mawtud madina shareen, burial in jannatul baqi. Ya Allah, grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the holy kothar water from his mubarak hands, my Allah. Allah, make us enter jannat without any hisab kitab. Protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas and maqbooliyat, my Allah. Make our children, our grandchildren, become the coolness of our eyes. Make them qurratu ayn, make them anki tandak. Make them excellent hufaz, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarrabin, maqbooleen, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have different hajat and needs, my Allah. Each one has raised his hand. Our mothers and sisters at home and others listening at home over the receiver, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are begging only from you, my Allah. Fulfill all our hajat and needs. Remove our difficulties, our worries. Ya qadhi al-hajat, ya dafi al-bariyat, ya hal al-mushkilat. اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاحها رحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك على حاضرين غائبين سبق دعاء قبول فرما ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.